So, 2022. I hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you have enjoyed turning into a new year. And my hope today is that as part of Colossians, the book of Colossians in the New Testament in the Bible, we will be encouraged that Jesus is rather amazing. And to live for him this year. So my theme is actually that Christ is at the centre of our church life, which we'll look at in a couple of different ways. But it's not just that Christ is at the centre of our church life, but that will have impact also into our personal lives. So I'm just going to rewind quite a few years ago, and Helen will remember this occasion, when we visited some friends in a place in Hertfordshire that was a Christian community. And on the Sunday, they all took us to a local church. And we were a bit late. No. That never happens here, does it? We were a bit late. And there was a tut-tut-tutting that went on. I want to hear your best tut-tut-tuts. Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. So, in fact, it wasn't just that we were late. There was something about this service that made us feel a bit uncomfortable. In another way, it wasn't very great. And it wasn't also the seats. There seemed to be a rather cold atmosphere in this church. And it turned out that we learnt that on one side of the aisle, there were people who were loyal to the old pastor. And the old pastor, the previous pastor, he was still around, and he was on one side. And then there were other people on the other side, and they were a bit more loyal to the new guy. So there was this real sense of something not quite right. We didn't know about that at the beginning, about where people were sitting. And Helen looked up, and she saw at the front of the church there was a sign that said, "Christ is risen, he is not here. He is not here, Christ is risen." That's what it's about, a verse from the Bible. And so the first bit said, "He is not here." And that is all that Helen could see. And she thought, quite right, he's not here. Jesus doesn't feel like he's here. So now, fortunately, we haven't encountered that too much in other churches. And maybe we misread the situation. And Helen just saw Christ is not here. But anyway, at that time, we felt that. But in many other churches, there are difficulties, there are fallouts, and all that sort of thing. I would say, I don't see that here. And I'd say, praise God, we don't see that here in Mosaic. But how can we avoid getting even close to a situation like that? So that we can be a church where we're loving one another. And there isn't that sense of factionalism, there isn't that sense of division. So Paul's words, which I'm going to ask Corrie to read in a minute, from Colossians in chapter 3, speak to all churches, not just to our church or not just to that one in Hertfordshire. They tell us how we can build good foundations for a healthy church life, a community that loves one another. It's all about how we can live out our new life as people who know Jesus, which Paul summarized as Christ in you. Isn't that amazing? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that Jesus might be at the center of our relationships and also the center of our worship. Amen? So that must be surely a good way to start 2022. So let's get a round of applause for Corrie, who's going to come up and read the scriptures. Can we have the scriptures? Thank you.
So the reading's Colossians 3 and it's 12:2-17. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you so much. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So we just need to back up a little bit and think, to who was Paul writing? Paul was an apostle. He was called an apostle. He shared the gospel in many different cities around what we might call Asia Minor. And we want to just think about, who were these people in Colossians? Well, firstly, let's just go back to what Joe and Naomi Burt shared with us the last time we were looking at Colossians, which was looking at how they were being transformed. The people of Colossae in the church were being transformed by Jesus. And they demonstrated this. If you remember, can you see that? The colour hasn't come out very much. It's meant to be yellow, I think, that, isn't it? That boiler suit. But Joe demonstrated this by being in a boiler suit and taking that off and revealing that underneath that there was a tuxedo. So changing clothes, taking off the old clothes. And what were they? What were these old clothes that the Colossians needed to take off? They were things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, as well as things like anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips, and lying. Well, that's quite a list, isn't it, really? If you think maybe that some of those people in Colossae had problems with those things, maybe we do too. But these people are being transformed by Jesus. And Paul talks about putting on various things. And that's in our passage today. And the second thing about the people of Colossae was they were very diverse. Paul says, if we can have the next slide there, that here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So let's just remind ourselves that this was a time of the Roman Empire. And there were some official languages like Latin and Greek, but there were also other people who spoke different languages. And in this city of Colossae, which was actually not very important at this stage, it had been more important, and it had lost its importance by virtue of the fact that other cities were taking more of a role. So there were Romans, there were Greeks, and there was a sizable Jewish population, as well as people who had adopted the Jewish religion, who were also called circumcised. And as well as those, there were the barbarians. Now, who are they? Barbarians were so called by the Greek people because they didn't speak Greek. They spoke other languages. And so they babbled. Ba, 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 ba. They were called barbarians because of that. In other words, they weren't sort of first language Greek speakers. They were foreigners. What about Scythians? Well, these were people who descended from quite a savage group that came from the Siberian steppes centuries before. And so they were rather different. They had their own language, no doubt. And so these terms, barbarian and Scythian, are referring to foreigners, people who are not like us, people who speak Greek with a funny accent, you know, that sort of thing. So they were different. That's rather similar to Britain today, isn't it? It's similar to Leeds. We are made up of many, many different ethnic groups and language groups and so on. On top of this, there were slaves and free. So those slaves had very little chances in life. They could rise up a little bit through a good master. And there were free people. So people with different life chances. And they met in the house of a man called Philemon. And Paul wrote a letter to Philemon, some of you may know, and his wife Apphia. And it probably wasn't a very large church, but it was diverse. So the point of this is that it doesn't make any difference what your background is. Let's just look at what it says in the New Living Translation, which says this: in this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. And we will see that actually it's because Jesus lives in all of us that that is how we can live the life of Christ in today's society. So let's get to our passage now. Our equality is before God, and it doesn't do away with the importance of our differences either. But it does provide the foundation of how we relate to one another. Let's just read these next verses. Thank you. Therefore, as God... back one, please. Yeah, therefore, as God's chosen people... My, isn't that amazing? We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. So whatever background we come from, the important thing is that God says we are a chosen people. We are holy and we're dearly loved. Will you turn to somebody and say, you are chosen, holy and dearly loved? So it's nothing to do with our background. It's to do with what God says we are. That's our starting point. When we become Christians, somehow there's a change that takes place, and it's a remarkable one. Because you think you might choose to become a Christian. You might choose to follow Jesus. You might choose to join a church. But actually, when you come to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus, you discover he has chosen you. You discover actually he's been pursuing you like a shepherd looking for a lost sheep. That's what Jesus says. Hallelujah. He also says that we are holy. That's a bit weird today to call people holy, isn't it? Let alone to call yourself holy. But what does it mean here? It comes back to the Old Testament context of this. You're set apart. You're a people who are set apart. Now, at Christmas time, you probably set apart some things for Christmas, don't you? They're set apart for a special use. Now, we are set apart, he says, for God. We are a chosen people, holy, and the reason why this is because we are dearly loved. We're dearly loved by God. That's the heart of the gospel. Does anyone know John 3, chapter 3 and verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is what it means to be loved by God, isn't it? To be called holy and chosen. So that is exactly the reason why we can't look down our noses at anybody else who we might think is rather barbaric or uncivilized, as it says in this previous bit. Because we are one in Christ. We can't look down on other people because God loves us. And we realize that we're all needy. We're all recipients of his love. We're all recipients of his grace. Whatever our background, whatever our language, whatever our football loyalties, whatever our musical tastes, whatever our cultural inclinations are, whatever our finances and our opportunities in life are. And this is what we're wanting to become like in Mosaic, isn't it? To become those, it doesn't matter what our background is, but we love one another because Christ has loved us first. So next, Paul goes on to tell us how we can work this out in practice. Can we have the next one? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now, at this point, I would like 6 volunteers, please, to come to the front. This is easy. This is not something you're not going to have to say anything. You're not going to be interviewed. Nothing like that. Isn't this great? We've got some men coming to the front. That's wonderful. So, I would like you to hold up. Thank you. Yeah, hold that up. And can you all say what that is? Compassion. And then Paola? Kindness. Can you put that on yourself? Yep, yep. And Jonah? And, thank you, Judah. Can you put it, just hang it round your neck. Thank you, Matt. And, this has got tied up. There we are. Yeah. Forgiveness. Now I want Helen to stand here, please. So we are to put on, can we read them out? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience and forgiveness. Now Helen's going to stand up and around these we're going to put on love. Sorry? So Helen is going to tie these people together. So you'll have to clump. So what are we putting round these qualities? We're putting love. Can you say love? Love. Love. Yes. Thank you, everyone. So some of you may think, oh, this is dead easy. You know, I'm a really nice person. I'm really loving. All I have to do is show compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. And around all that, put love. I'm a really loving person. But have you tried doing that for a week? Because there's something I've realized in myself. Is that actually at root, I quite like putting myself first. But this means putting other people first, doesn't it? To be kind, to be humble, to be compassionate. And I love the fact that in the midst of this is humility. Kind of in the middle of this group of words is humility. Now, you just stand there for a few more minutes, that's all right. Let's say that, you know, going back to the question of people with different languages, let's say that we don't like somebody's accent. You know, they don't speak quite like us. We don't quite catch every word. Now, what is that going to be our reaction? Well, if we're going to be kind, we're going to give them time, aren't we? We're going to try to understand what they're saying. If we're going to be humble, we're going to say, well, actually, one of the reasons why they might have an accent is they probably speak an amazing other language. And so you think, wow. And another thing that might come out of humility is, well, do people find the way that I talk difficult? So thank you, team. Thank you. Just just pop them down here. That's great. If you could pop the So clothing ourselves in these things is an outgrowth of us being chosen, holy, and dearly loved. We know that we're loved by Jesus. We know that we're loved by him in such a way that he chose us. And in my experience, I found that I was having a difficulty with a particular person. And I thought I was dealing right with this particular lady. But then when I was looking at these qualities of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness, I realized actually I wasn't being kind. I wasn't being compassionate. And when I was able to admit that to this particular lady, I don't think I was very kind when I said that. It took the sting out of something that she'd been struggling with. So it's really good to look at these qualities and say, well, where am I up to in relation to these things? And the other thing to notice is actually that these qualities are all about Jesus, aren't they? He is the one that's been kind to us. He's the one that's been compassionate to us. He took on himself humility and became a human being, as we think about at Christmas time. He is the one that has done all this, that we might be forgiven. And that's what Paul is talking about. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So these are qualities of Jesus. And Paul says in another place in Romans, I believe it is, Romans 13, verse 14, he says, and put on or clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. When we're putting on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love, we're putting on Christ. We're working out that which he has put into us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? So where are you up to? That's a good question to ask. The second area where Christ becomes the center of our church life is in our worship. Now, when I say worship, I don't just mean singing. I'm thinking about what happens when we come together, not just on a Sunday, but wherever we come together, whenever we come together. And Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Then he says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs or songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And then whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's look at this through a chart. Because it's all quite neat, isn't it? The first of these verses, verse 15, says, the peace of Christ is to rule in our hearts. The second says, let the message of Christ dwell richly amongst us. And then in the third one, verse 17, it's the name of Christ, isn't it? So in other words, our worship is to be shaped around Christ, around the peace that he brings to us, the unity that he has bought for us on the cross. We often think this verse might mean something individually, you know, have a sense of peace in your heart. But actually, it's far more than that. It's to do with the fact that Christ has broken down the dividing walls of hostility that separate people through the cross. So it's the peace of Christ that is to rule amongst us as a people, as one body, we're called to peace. Amen? So it's a corporate thing as well as an individual thing. It's the unity bought by Christ. And what does that mean actually when we come to work it out. Whatever our external differences, Jesus has come to break and abolish those dividing walls. In other words, Jesus died to take away sin, and sin is at the root of racial and social barriers. How do you spell sin? S-I-N. What is the middle of that? I. The root of sin is that we put ourselves first, rather than the other person, isn't it? Rather than God. And so actually Jesus has come to reconcile us first to himself, to God through himself, and then to one another, making a whole new humanity, as Paul puts it in Ephesians. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace of Christ. So practically, it means allowing this peace, this reconciliation, this oneness in Christ to guide us in our worship, in our life together. So our worship is not to be guided by one dominant cultural group. It's not to be dominated by any particular cultural group. But our worship is to embrace the cross-bought peace that reconciles people from all sorts of differences and all sorts of backgrounds, whatever our preferences are in worship. Amen? And then the message of Christ is to shape everything that we do in our singing as well. Songs are not just to make us feel good. They're to tell us something, aren't they? So the message about Christ is to be central to what we speak about, what we pray about, what we sing about, what we read about, what we reflect on. Because Christian worship, if it's Christian, is Christ-centered. Amen? It's the message of Christ which is at the heart of our worship. It revels, our worship revels, as we've been doing so far with Mary and the band's help, in the gospel of Jesus. That Jesus came, that he died for us, that he rose again from the dead, and that he now is reigning at the Father's right hand, and he will come back again. Our message, our story, our song is about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not just touchy-feely songs that make us feel good. We want to feel good, don't we? We want to be made to feel good, if we're honest. But actually, what is going to strengthen us is the truth of the message of Jesus. And the second thing about our worship is our songs will be diverse. Paul talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, or songs from the Spirit. Now, experts on this, and I've been looking at this for a number of years, experts on this don't necessarily agree whether they know whether Paul is talking about specific types of music, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, or whether it's just a grandiose way, if you like, a big way of saying all kinds of songs. Doesn't really matter, does it? But we do know that in the early church there were Jewish people, and they had the tradition from the synagogue of using the psalms. And there were songs in the New Testament, a bit like Mary's song, the Magnificat, "My soul magnifies the Lord," which is a bit like a psalm in the way it's constructed. But there were also other constructions of songs in the early church, which we call hymns as well. And there are Christ hymns, which actually are dotted throughout the letters, in particular, in the New Testament. And we've got one in Colossians in chapter 1, but the most famous one is Philippians chapter 2. Some of you will know it. So Greek influence, as well as Jewish influence, in the music and in the poetic style of what was being sung. What about spiritual songs? Now, Often people say, well, that's probably more the spontaneous kind of songs that would have been sung during worship. Now, what would have informed somebody from different ethnic backgrounds? It would have been their ethnic background in music, wouldn't it? So there was a variety of different kinds of musical influence that would have been there as the Church of God sang together. Musical variety, poetic variety. So what do we learn from that? Is the message of Christ, and especially the message of reconciliation to God through him and to one another through him, is not best expressed through one style. It's at best expressed through a multiplicity of styles that represent us. Is that right? And that's one reason I asked Mary to bring a bit of variety, which we'll have today, as well as songs about thanksgiving. So the third thing about worship is that everything is to be done for the name of Jesus and for the glory of Jesus. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. So our time on a Sunday morning is not just for reading the Bible, singing a few songs, chatting over drinks and snacks. It's intended to do something in us. It's intended to equip us, to transform us. We have a banner over here, God transforming lives. That's what we want to see. Through our worship, to equip us to become more like Jesus. So when I come to church on a Sunday morning, it's a good thing if I say, why am I going? Am I just going to meet a few people, sing a few songs, hear from the Bible? Or is something deep going to happen in my heart, in my life, that's going to transform me? And then threaded through all of these things, the next slide, is gratitude. And I've also asked Mary to bring some songs of thanksgiving today, which we've started already. And then just finally, I'm not going to speak a long time about the next verses, which we didn't read, but it talks about how we live in our families, how we live in our relationships with other people, and how we live in our work life. So whether we're a husband, a wife, or a single person, whether we're a parent or a child, whether we're an employer, a contractor, an employee, or a volunteer, it doesn't really matter. The fundamental key that Paul is bringing out is whatever you do, whether in word or deed, we are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, summing up, our community life as a church, then, our hearing of the words of God in the Bible and in our prayers and our worship together will equip us to live out the life of Christ in us and to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and over all of these things to put on love. When Jesus was asked, which is the most important commandment, what did he say? He said, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God and to love people. So as we start 2022, we have the opportunity to refresh ourselves with the desire that our church life and worship will have Jesus at the center, because he has first demonstrated his love to us. So I want to come on to a couple of questions for us to discuss with people just near to where we're sitting. So over the last 2 or 3 weeks, over Christmas time, over New Year, think back over those 2 weeks. Was there an occasion when we were genuinely thankful? Paul says, and be thankful. Was there an occasion that you were genuinely thankful? Was there an occasion when you were actually not thankful? Because, you know, Paul says in another place, give thanks in all circumstances. not necessarily for the circumstance, but in the circumstance, because Christ is with you in it. And what about this aspect of putting on love? Were there some things that Paul talked about in that passage that you think, well, I could do differently this year? And you want to just draw on the strength of Christ to do that. So why don't you just turn to one another. I'm just going to pray first. Turn to one another and then discuss these things. Lord, thank you that you are the one who has loved us first. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to move forward into this year, to put you on, to put these attributes on, and to become more like you in our personal lives and in our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.